There's a man by the name of Captain William Swenson who was recently awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his actions on September 8, 2009. On that day, a column of American and Afghan troops were making their way through a part of Afghanistan to help protect a group of Afghan government officials who would be meeting with some local village elders. The column came under ambush and was surrounded on three sides, and amongst other things, Captain Swenson was recognized for running into live fire to rescue the wounded and pull out the dead. One of the people he rescued was a sergeant, and he and a comrade were making their way to a medevac helicopter with him. And what was remarkable about this day is, by sheer coincidence, one of the medevac medics happened to have a GoPro camera on his helmet and captured the whole scene on camera, unknown to Captain Swenson. It shows the captain and his comrade bringing in this wounded soldier who had received a gunshot to the neck. They put him in the helicopter, and then you see Captain Swenson bend over and give him a kiss before he turns around to rescue more. That story is from a TED Talk on leadership by Simon Sinek, and it grabbed me immediately when I saw it last month. That image of this captain under fire, exposed, at risk, even as he rescues his comrade who is wounded, in peril, susceptible. Two soldiers, hardened and tough, and both, in that moment, totally vulnerable. Pretense stripped away, living from just their core. A picture of courage, straight from the heart. And I was taken by that image because it is a reminder of the stark reality of our common human vulnerability, how fragile we are and can be. We forget sometimes how thin the line is. We forget until we are reminded, like the stark reminder we received last week, like the onslaught of reminders from recent months from our weather and our earth and violence around the world. It's hard to miss the evidence of our vulnerability these days. We are surrounded by it. I posted the service description for today on Facebook on Monday with the quote that is now on the cover of your order of service. It says, "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Do not be afraid." Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Do not be afraid. A woman right underneath my post offered a response to that beseeching call that seemed to come right from the gut. "Be afraid," she wrote. "Be very afraid." I suspect she is not the only one feeling that way right now. Fearful, overwhelmed, helpless. Or maybe you're feeling angry or frustrated. Or maybe you're not sure how you're feeling. Sometimes when there's too much coming in, emotional systems shut down. We go a little numb. We block it off and distance ourselves. But then it just sits there, blocking you off from life and from connection with others, like a big boulder of leftover angst that tells us, "Don't do this, you might get hurt," or "Don't do that, it might be dangerous." Or it tells you it doesn't matter, that it's so far away, it's bad, but it's not about you, and you have a lot to do. What do we do with our fear, whatever form it takes? Where can we find courage? In a blog post I read this week, UCC minister Catherine Willis Pershey reflects on the same Buechner quote about beautiful and terrible things. In particular, on the last phrase of it, "Do not be afraid," she notes, is a quote within a quote. Buechner echoes the words whispered to terrified souls throughout Holy Scripture. "Do not be afraid," God says to Abraham, to Hagar, to Joseph, to Moses. "Do not be afraid," Moses says to the Hebrew people. "Do not be afraid," the angel says to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph. "Do not be afraid," Jesus says to his disciples more times than you can count on both hands. "I love that Buechner quote," she continues, "but I also despise it. I love the promise that beautiful things will happen. I hate the reminder that terrible things will happen." "If it were up to me," she says, "it would go like this. Here is the world. Nothing bad will ever happen to you, so you do not need to be afraid." That makes sense, right? That's the reason we need not fear, is because there's nothing to be afraid of. But that's not what Buechner is saying. And that's not what the Bible is saying. And that's not how things are. The raw truth is bad things happen, people get hurt. There's plenty to be afraid of. We are vulnerable, we humans. It's part of the nature of things. But it's not the whole picture. It's not the whole picture because it's that very vulnerability, that built-in defenselessness, that can be a doorway to the heart. Sometimes that very vulnerability is what connects us to each other. That very vulnerability is the birthplace of courage. I have a conviction that underneath it all, when we're not lost in fear or anger, or lost in avoiding fear, what's left is all heart. When we dissolve the countless defenses we've built against life and each other, we find our core. You catch glimpses of it sometimes in devastating circumstances, and it can be contagious. Maybe you heard the story on the news about the first responders digging out children from their collapsed school building in Mexico City, regularly asking everyone to be quiet so they might hear them in the rubble. I picture those rescuers covered in dirt and debris, risking their lives as buildings might collapse further, and I picture hundreds of people all holding their breath, silent, so that they might do one part in helping find those small children. Or I think of all those people who took their own boats and their own lives in hand to rescue others in the Houston floods. Or there's the lines and lines and lines of people poised to give blood after the terror in Las Vegas, some arriving as early as 2 a.m. I don't want to make this sound romantic or cliche, because there is nothing romantic about the kind of violence and devastation we have been witnessing. There is nothing redeeming about unnecessary suffering. We need to continue to do everything we can to prevent senseless violence, to fight climate change, to right the wrongs that are so prevalent in our world, to return our society and our earth to balance and health. But there is something about recognizing our mutual vulnerability that gives us access to our heart. Something about a certain urgency that cuts through defenses and gets us to just do what needs doing, even at risk to ourselves. Most of us, most of the time, are not in Afghanistan under ambush. And most of us, most of the time, are not subject to tragedy involving automatic weapons of whatever kind. And most of us, most of the time, are not in the path of a hurricane or caught in an earthquake, thank God. For most of us, most of the time, stepping into situations that feel vulnerable is a choice every day. Courage is a choice every day. It's a choice to get out of bed and do the things you have to do, even though the world feels a little less safe today. It's a choice to stay open to the incredible beauty of this world, knowing that terrible things will happen. It's a choice to not go numb, but instead stay open, willing to be vulnerable, allowing the world to have access to us so we can have access to it. It's a choice made more difficult because we confuse sometimes numbness with courage. We confuse sometimes courage with being or at least appearing invulnerable. And it's important to recognize that it's a confusion because a sense of invulnerability can feel like courage. In fact, in our public lore, we hold up the steely ones, the cool ones, the tough ones, the hero who grunts with an emotionless expression. And being tough like that can feel good in a certain way, can feel strong or powerful, but it lacks something. It lacks depth and connection. It lacks the fullness of your humanity. There was a study done in the 1970s, recounted here by Reverend Sean Newton. Stanley Rockman, a professor at the University of British Columbia, studied both the physiology and behavior of paratroopers as they prepared for their first parachute jump. He found that they divided into three groups. There were those who were unnaturally fearless, people who displayed scant signs of the racing heart, sweaty palms, spike in blood pressure, and other fight or flight responses typically associated with ordinary fear. These guys jumped without hesitation. They were fearless. Then there were the hand-wringers, whose powerful fear response at the critical moment kept them from jumping at all. There was nothing that could make them hurl themselves out of the hatch. And finally, there were those who reacted physiologically like the hand-wringers, but who acted like the fearless leapers. They were able to fling themselves from the plane, even though they were absolutely terrified. These were the ones Dr. Rockman called courageous. The first group, they leapt but didn't feel. They were disconnected from their experience. The second group felt but didn't leap. They didn't have an experience. The last group, they stayed open, allowing their minds and bodies to take in the full reality of their situation, their vulnerability, while at the same time not letting that stop them from taking the action they felt called to take. I don't know the follow-up to that story, but I wouldn't be surprised if you would find the lives of that last group quite different from those of the other two. Because the kind of courage they displayed in that one jarring situation, that willingness to feel their feelings without letting it stop them, that is exactly the kind of courage that is needed to live from the heart day to day. Our hearts are a tool that can see and understand things that the mind alone cannot. and for the complex challenges we face in our extraordinary world or our ordinary lives, we need all systems engaged. In her book, Daring to Be Great, Brené Brown, whose quote we heard earlier, gives some examples of these kinds of ordinary challenges that require vulnerability. She asked people to complete the sentence, "Vulnerability is dot, dot, dot." Here are some of their replies. Standing up for myself. Asking for help. Saying no. Calling a friend whose child just died. Saying I love you first. Getting pregnant after 3 miscarriages. Waiting for the biopsy to come back. Admitting I'm afraid. Asking for forgiveness. Having faith. All of which are situations that require courage, and all of which require an open heart. And then she asked, okay, so what does it feel like, that vulnerability? What does it look like inside you? What do you experience? And their answers were sweaty palms and a racing heart, a lump in your throat, a knot in your chest, the terrifying point on a roller coaster when you're about to tip over the edge and take the plunge, panic, anxiety, fear, and hysteria, followed by freedom, pride, and amazement, and then a little more panic. Freedom and liberation. Ordinary, everyday courage. Ordinary, everyday terror. Ordinary liberation. Ordinary amazement. Available to us every day. Do not be afraid, the Bible tells us, more times than we can count on both hands. Far more times. Do not be afraid, Frederick Buechner urges us, no matter what. Or perhaps more accurately, allow yourself to be afraid, to be vulnerable. Feel the terror. Allow it to touch you and move you and open you, but do not let it stop you. I will not die an unlived life, Donna Markova writes. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. May it be so for us. Amen.